the area's number one political talk segment. Politics This Week with Justin Katz, managing editor of AnchorRising.com on The John DePietro Show.
Our segment is Politics This Week. He is Justin Katz, managing editor of AnchorRising.com. Well, Justin, the Washington Bridge, now it's early, but they have shifted this. They've gone to the three lanes on both sides. I'm just curious your thoughts on, I mean, we'll wait and see as far as some of these things of how long it takes and maybe, hey, maybe anything it could improve. But I just found it striking how Governor McKee at this press briefing that he had at the end of the last week, where he's got the head of the state police and so forth, they're basically now starting they're starting to blame all of these problems on the people that are the drivers that are driving on the bridge. And I'm not going to defend bad drivers, but at the same time, with everything that people have gone through, like, to me, McKee's always looking for the scapegoat. Now he's found it. It's these people that keep getting in these accidents.
Right. Well, then that's because their big solution is to make the lanes narrower so they can move more cars through. But, you know, people drive how they drive. And I think that's almost inadvertently he kind of betrayed the progressive conceit, right? If you people would just be more manageable, we could do better.
Right.
Well, no, we hired you. You represent us to work with us as we are. You're not there to change us and make us better drivers so that we're easier to manage. You're there to say, this is how they drive. We're going to make their lives work. I mean, that's the basic point that's so easy to miss. And, you know, a lot of it just isn't people's fault. I mean, a couple nights a week, I'm coming back over from west to east on that bridge at night. And just the way the road turns, the way the lights go right over the barrier. If you're in the left two lanes going east, you can't see. And that's not anybody's fault. You're just coming along. All of a sudden, you're blinded. And it's a design flaw. Somebody didn't say, what are we going to do when these lights are flashing right in people's eyes as we're narrowing the lanes on them and they're trying to merge and all this stuff. So that's on them. It's their job to make it easier for us to live, not our job to accommodate them and their inanities. And I think, but this is always McKee though, right? It was always somebody else's job. What are you complaining about? It's only a 15-minute increase in your drive time, right?
Right.
It's always your expectations are off. Your driving is bad. And I think that's a big problem for him as a politician, which is why he had to sell his soul, I think, to continue on as governor. But I think people ought to take the lesson and start taking some offense at this. No, why don't you just make the bridge work, okay? Stop looking for excuses. If people are getting more accidents, that means your plan stinks. That doesn't mean people are bad drivers. It means if the lanes are too narrow, it's too windy, the lights are shining in their eyes, come up with a better solution, fix the bridge. I still don't hear anybody, and I may say this every single week until this bridge is rebuilt, I still don't hear anybody saying, you know what, this is too serious. Every regulation we impose, every dumb thing we make our contractors jump through, all of those hoops, gone. We're putting them aside because this is too important. I still don't hear that. Instead, it's, oh, we're just trying to find some way to get more cars across the bridge, and you just need to drive better, people.
That's exactly right. And Justin, I found it when I have been over, and I was over recently, number one, it's worse than I thought. And number two, what I think, I know everyone talks about the traffic, but it's the type of traffic that you're in that I found it to be like, it's very stressful, white knuckle ride. I understand why there are accidents like that. I can't imagine dealing with that every day or every night, or you're tired and you're coming home from work, let alone, you know, it's dark out and then suddenly the three go into one. And then there's, as you say, suddenly you're blinded. It is a design flaw of how they came around with. Now, speaking of the bridge, as Kathy Gregg announced, stay tuned for a $400,000 TV, radio, billboard, social media campaign to try to persuade Rhode Islanders, forget what they think about the bridge, come back to Providence, East Providence, and the East Bay.
It's hard to know what to think about this. On the one hand, why can't, if there's $400,000 lying around, which there aren't, but why not help the businesses in the area? You're right. Not, I mean, that's the, In some ways, it's just use of money as a means of propaganda. Just ignore what's going on. Things are still good. We're just going to keep sending this message to you and spending your money to do it. On the other hand, to the extent they're marketing it as sort of an economic development thing, it goes right back to that conceit that we government can do this. We can put out messages better than you. You don't need your money. We'll take it and we'll make things better. And it's just not true. And so in any event, it seems to me tone deaf. Just what are you even thinking? This shouldn't be on the radar, but this is where our state government goes now. First thing out of the gate. How are we going to message this? And in some ways, Gina Raimondo helped push it that way, actually, you know, when she was in there. A lot of it was this is, it's all about the messaging. It's all about, we just got to use the reporters we hired from the newspapers and gave them six-figure salaries to do messaging in every single department. This is what state government has become in the past 15 years. And it's really a shame because it doesn't hide the fact that they don't know what they're doing. I mean, they don't even know what they're doing with messaging, but to try to message instead of doing other stuff is just, no, just get it, make things work, help people. We don't need your messaging. We don't need ceramic quahogs flying around the country. We don't need cooler and warmer. We don't need all that. We just need government to do what government's supposed to do, which is the basics of things like infrastructure and education and getting out of business's way. But they don't want to do that. They'd rather spend the money to advertise.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. A State House insider told me that this is really a way to just kind of buy off the media, which is they're going to throw 100,000 at Channel 10 and 75,000 at Channel 12. And what they're really going to try to do is just buy some, hey, you know, give some to the radio station on the dial. It's really a way, you know, that's what it really is. They're really trying to buy them to then just go along with this charade. It's like a typical, like, Rhode Island where you got to do a payoff here. In order to get, because otherwise, as you think of it, it doesn't make sense that they're going to do a marketing campaign and tell regular people, just forget about the traffic and the bridge and come back. That's the way it was described to me. It's almost like a buy off of the media, which seems to make more sense. Justin, what do you make of the Rhode Island housing crisis? We keep seeing stories about it, and supposedly, I think the state is the worst in the country as far as, you know, building new home housing. But I'm just wondering if in the past, with some of the things that you've studied and looked into, if you have a thought on why is it that the state, it is such a problem in developing new homes?
Well, a lot of it is, I mean, you've got this mix of regulation and NIMBYism and then government intervention. And I think that it's just toxic. I think we never have an honest conversation. That's at least locally, that was my experience in a local level. If the honest conversation is, we like Rhode Island as it is, and we're just going to eat the higher prices because we don't want more construction, you know, that to me, that's a legitimate point to make. I may not agree with it, but but you're not allowed to say that. And I think a lot of it comes back to this pretending we have values we don't really have. And then just the idea of being, we've seen the punishment of success in Rhode Island and among any, you know, blue states really, but it's, being a landlord can be great, but the more and more this deck is stacked against you, the less worthwhile it is. And so if you do get people, if you're lucky and you get a good tenant, it's great. If you don't, if you get that person who kind of squats there for a while and doesn't pay and destroys the house and you've got no protection, and then you've got, I think it's Peter Neron is the latest, but it's a constant push on lead. All right, you encapsulated this lead a decade or two ago, but now we're gonna make it more stringent. And okay, we're gonna try to push your septic system so that you can't have it anymore, and you got to spend money to get a new one or connect it to sewer that's super expensive and isn't really in your budget. All those things, as if there's some kind of big well of money, and landlords are just these rich bastards who are trying to soak the poor. And that narrative makes it hard for people to develop properties and then rent them. And so I think all these things start to contribute. And then you get Massachusetts having some money, and the more pleasant transportation is, you know, with podcasts or what have you, then the farther people are willing to live. And again, it's an area where we're not having honest conversations, where if that's the way we want to be, sure, but let's talk about how we can make that more palatable. And if we have to pay more to workers, then to get them to drive or be able to afford housing, then that's what we have to do. But there's never any real assessment of the problem. And I think that itself is creating the problems.
Folks, quick break. Much more ahead. Politics This Week with Justin Katz right here on the John DePietro Show.
the Lodge Pub and Eatery, 40 Breakneck Hill Road in Lincoln. Lunch, dinner, drinks in the lounge, especially this time of year. So much going on. They always have a nice crowd right there. Full bar, large dining area right there in the lounge. Easy to get to, whether it's lunch or dinner. A great meal is waiting for you at the Lodge Pub and Eatery. Think of this, since 1994, that's right, celebrating the big anniversary this year, I'll see you at the Lodge Pub and Eatery, 40 Breakneck Hill Road in Lincoln. Royal Exteriors, call them today. Free estimate, 401-533-9989. Royal Exteriors. Customer service. First local residential roofer with over 10 years experience using America's top-rated lifetime architectural shingles. Deal directly with the owner, Andrew. No high-priced salesman with commission. Andrew believes fair prices paired with expert workmanship makes a perfect combination. Royal Exteriors. Call today for a free estimate. 401-533-9989. Royal Exteriors. Install new windows, doors, vinyl siding. How about a new roof? They're ready. Call Royal Exteriors today for a free quote based right in Johnston. 401-533-9989. Home exterior remodeling. Royal Exteriors, where the customer is always king.
Politics This Week with Justin Katz continues on the John DePietro Show.
Our segment is Politics This Week. He is Justin Katz, managing editor, anchorrising.com. Well, Justin, the Washington Bridge. Now, it's early, but they have shifted this. They've gone to the three lanes on both sides. I'm just curious your thoughts on, I mean, we'll wait and see as far as some of these things of how long it takes and maybe, hey, maybe anything it could improve. But I just found it striking how Governor McKee at this press briefing that he had at the end of the last week, where he's got the head of the state police and so forth, they're basically now starting to me, they're starting to blame all of these problems on the people that are the drivers that are driving on the bridge. And I'm not going to defend bad drivers, but at the same time, with everything that people have gone through, like to me, McKee's always looking for the scapegoat. Now he's found it. It's these people that keep getting in these accidents.
Right. Well, then that's because their big solution is to make the lanes narrower so they can move more cars through. But, you know, people drive how they drive. And I think that's almost inadvertently he kind of betrayed the progressive conceit. Right. If you people would just be more manageable, we could do better.
Right.
Well, no, we hired you. You represent us to work with us as we are. You're not there to change us and make us better drivers so that we're easier to manage. You're there to say, this is how they drive. We're going to make their lives work. I mean, that's the basic point that's so easy to miss. And, you know, a lot of it just isn't people's fault. I mean, a couple nights a week, I'm coming back over from west to east on that bridge at night. And just the way the road turns, the way the lights go right over the barrier. If you're in the left two lanes going east, you can't see. And that's not anybody's fault. You're just coming along. All of a sudden, you're blinded. And it's a design flaw. Somebody didn't say, what are we going to do when these lights are flashing right in people's eyes as we're narrowing the lanes on them and they're trying to merge and all this stuff. So that's on them. It's their job to make it easier for us to live, not our job to accommodate them and their inanities. And I think, but this is always McKee though, right? It was always somebody else's job. What are you complaining about? It's only a 15-minute increase in your drive time, right?
Right.
It's always your expectations are off. Your driving is bad. And I think that's a big problem for him as a politician, which is why he had to sell his soul, I think, to continue on as governor. But I think people ought to take the lesson and start taking some offense at this. No, why don't you just make the bridge work, okay? Stop looking for excuses. If people are getting more accidents, that means your plan stinks. That doesn't mean people are bad drivers. It means if the lanes are too narrow, it's too windy, the lights are shining in their eyes, come up with a better solution. fix the bridge. I still don't hear anybody, and I may say this every single week until this bridge is rebuilt. I still don't hear anybody saying, you know what, this is too serious. Every regulation we impose, every dumb thing we make our contractors jump through, all of those hoops, gone. We're putting them aside because this is too important. I still don't hear that. Instead, it's, oh, we're just trying to find some way to get more cars across the bridge, and you just need to drive better, people.
That's exactly right. And Justin, I found it, when I have been over, and I was over recently, number one, it's worse than I thought. And number two, what I think, I know everyone talks about the traffic, but it's the type of traffic that you're in that I found it to be like, it's very stressful, white knuckle ride. I understand why there are accidents like that. I can't imagine dealing with that every day or every night, or you're tired and you're coming home from work, let alone, you know, it's dark out and then suddenly the three go into one. And then there's, as you say, suddenly you're blinded. It is a design flaw of how they came around with. Now, speaking of the bridge, as Kathy Gregg announced, stay tuned for a $400,000 TV, radio, billboard, social media campaign to try to persuade Rhode Islanders, forget what they think about the bridge, come back to Providence, East Providence, and the East Bay.
It's hard to know what to think about this. On the one hand, why can't, if there's $400,000 lying around, which there aren't, but why not help the businesses in the area? In some ways, it's just use of money as a means of propaganda. Just ignore what's going on. Things are still good. We're just going to keep sending this message to you and spending your money to do it. On the other hand, to the extent they're marketing it as sort of an economic development thing, it goes right back to that conceit that we government can do this. We can put out messages better than you. You don't need your money. We'll take it and we'll make things better. And it's just not true. And so in any event, it seems to me tone deaf. Just what are you even thinking? This shouldn't be on the radar, but this is where our state government goes now. First thing out of the gate, how are we going to message this? And in some ways, Gina Raimondo helped push it that way, actually, you know, when she was in there. A lot of it was this is, it's all about the messaging. It's all about, we just got to use the reporters we hired from the newspapers and gave them six-figure salaries to do messaging in every single department. This is what state government has become in the past 15 years. And it's really a shame because it doesn't hide the fact that they don't know what they're doing. I mean, they don't even know what they're doing with messaging, but to try to message instead of doing other stuff is just, no, just get it, make things work, help people. We don't need your messaging. We don't need ceramic quahogs flying around the country. We don't need cooler and warmer. We don't need all that. We just need government to do what government's supposed to do, which is the basics of things like infrastructure and education and getting out of business's way. But they don't want to do that. They'd rather spend the money to advertise.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. And a State House insider told me that this is really a way to just kind of buy off the media, which is they're going to throw $100,000 at Channel 10 and $75,000 at Channel 12. And what they're really going to try to do is just buy some, hey, you know, give some to the radio station on the dial. It's really a way, you know, that's what it really is. They're really trying to buy them to then just go along with this charade. It's like a typical, like, Rhode Island where you got to do a payoff here in order to get, because otherwise, as you think of it, it doesn't make sense that they're going to do a marketing campaign and tell regular people, just forget about the traffic and the bridge and come back. That's the way it was described to me. It's almost like a buy-off of the media, which seems to make more sense. Justin, what do you make of the Rhode Island housing crisis? We keep seeing stories about it, and supposedly I think the state is the worst in the country as far as, you know, building new home housing. But I'm just wondering if in the past, with some of the things that you've studied and looked into, if you have a thought on why is it that the state, it is such a problem in developing new homes?
Well, a lot of it is, I mean, you've got this mix of regulation and NIMBYism and government intervention. And I think that it's just toxic. I think we never have an honest conversation. That's at least locally. That was my experience in a local level. So the honest, if the honest conversation is, we like Rhode Island as it is, and we're just going to eat the higher prices because we don't want more construction, you know, that to me, that's a legitimate point to make. I may not agree with it, but but you're not allowed to say that. And I think a lot of it comes back to this pretending we have values we don't really have, and then just the idea of being. We've seen the punishment of success in Rhode Island and among any blue states really. But it's being a landlord can be great, but the more and more this deck is stacked against you, the less worthwhile it is. And so if you do get people, if you're lucky and you get a good tenant, it's great. If you don't, if you get that person who kind of squats there for a while and doesn't pay and destroys the house and you've got no protection, and then you've got, I think it's Peter Neurona is the latest, but it's a constant push on lead. All right, you encapsulated this lead a decade or two ago, but now we're gonna make it more stringent. And okay, we're gonna try to push your septic system so that you can't have it anymore, and you got to spend money to get a new one or connect it to sewer that's super expensive and isn't really in your budget. All those things, as if there's some kind of big well of money, and landlords are just these rich bastards who are trying to soak the poor. And that narrative makes it hard for people to develop properties and then rent them. And so I think all these things start to contribute. And then you get Massachusetts having some money, and the more pleasant transportation is, with podcasts or what have you, then the farther people are willing to live. And again, it's an area where we're not having honest conversations, where if that's the way we want to be, sure, but let's talk about how we can make that more palatable. And if we have to pay more to workers, then to get them to drive or be able to afford housing, then that's what we have to do. But there's never any real assessment of the problem. And I think that itself is creating the problems.
Folks, quick break. Much more ahead. Politics This Week with Justin Katz right here on the John DePietro Show.
Propane Plus, for all your propane needs. Call Propane Plus today, heating and cooling in Rhode Island. Call the propane experts at 401-885-4209. In Massachusetts, 508-252-3359. For Propane Plus, three generations, they're available 24/7, and they're going to serve you for a long time. At Propane Plus, you can also log onto their website. It's very user-friendly, propaneplus.com, and then you just type in your zip code, whether it's residential or commercial. Always there for you, dedicated, providing exceptional service. It's Propane Plus, energy for everyone. Call them today. In Rhode Island, call Propane Plus, 401-885-4209. In Massachusetts, 508-252-3359. AJ, drywall, plaster, home improvement, call them today for a free quote. You can also find them on Facebook, 401-323-9252. 323-9252. AJ, drywall, plasters, home improvement, frame to finish, basements. What a difference it'll make in your basement. Acoustic ceilings. Look how beautiful your ceiling could be. New homes, additions. Also, commercial rehabs, painting, remodeling. Contact them today. It's a family-run business. AJ Drywall Plaster Home Improvements. Call for a free quote. What a difference they'll make in your home, your ceilings, floors, basements. 401-323-9252. What a difference. Beautiful walls and ceilings. 401-323-9252. You can also find them on Facebook. It's AJ Drywall Plaster and Home Improvements for your home or business.
Politics This Week with Justin Katz continues on the John DePietro Show.
He is Justin Katz, managing editor, anchorrising.com. Justin, some other stories. What do you make of that Massachusetts, they are looking into possibility that they may set up tolls, so then all the people from Rhode Island that would be going into Mass, and by the way, New Hampshire, but suddenly would have to pay a toll to get into Massachusetts?
Well, it does show you how in the Northeast, they're exhausting their tax, their revenue, and so they have to find new ways. We kind of led Gina Raimondo led the charge with tolls. Once you start putting them on those interstates, I mean, can you imagine if you had a toll crossing from Massachusetts to Rhode Island and going from East Bay to Providence would be a toll? That would, I mean, once you start talking in those terms, it's you start to get into, you know, almost like battling between states, which is just not how the United States is supposed to operate. And it comes down to the old, what they call it, the Washington Monument theory, where the government will spend all kinds of money and they say, oh, but the Washington Monument's falling down, we need more money for that, where that could have been a higher priority, but it's visible and I know people will fund it. We've been doing that in this country, especially in this region, for so long that we blow the money, and we see this in the Washington Bridge. That should have been fixed long ago. There should never have been a problem, but people will vote for bonds without fail. We will always, always pay for infrastructure because we think it's a basic need, and it is, but that's why they take the money that should be going to that and spend it on their pet projects, and then they have to go looking for new money. And I think that's what we're seeing, and I think the pressure for tolls is going to continue to build. And then you see, you know, social media videos of the infrastructure or transportation secretary or something in Massachusetts talking about how she's going after anybody with money. And you know, that's you know what, you're going to drive people out of the state. I mean, we saw this Massachusetts story recently. Massachusetts is losing a lot of young people and productive people, and honestly, that's what I've been warning about in Rhode Island for 25 years. That's who leaves, is the people who need opportunity. They're leaving because there is no opportunity, and the states up here punish success, and I think that's what you're seeing. And I just saw a chart the other day from California where their percentage of all new tech jobs is collapsing, and that's because they do these kind of things. They don't want to focus on just making life function, and so they're going to keep coming for more money, and I think we'll see it in Rhode Island too.
Two elements about the bridge. One is, what was your thought on the Providence Journal did the big story, a report warned the state about the bridge back in 2015. Why was nothing done?
Well, I think it was very telling of how things operate, and you know, to give a bit of fairness, I mean, it wasn't as if they said you should close this now and they didn't. It was they said there were problems that you should fix now, and they didn't do that, and then that's probably a good possibility that's why they missed how bad it really was, because problems were covered with paint and so on. But what's really telling is all the stuff like we're talking about, the political wrangling. Okay, we're going to fix this. Oh, well, now my Republican competitor just dubbed it Gina's traffic jam. Yeah. And so, okay, we can't do that right now because I'm in an election, and so we can't have the traffic. So let's not fix it right now. And then you've got battles between all the special interest construction workers and the contractors, and then it's just a lot of the story is about how difficult it is in Rhode Island to do this stuff, to get it done, because of all the politics and the regulations and the lack of priorities. And you know, there's nobody. I was thinking of, you know, sometimes you'll have those disaster movies or something where there's the hardworking city infrastructure person who notices, oh, something's weird about the bridge, and it turns out there's a lava fall coming, you know, that guy, lava flow coming. That, we don't seem to have those people who are night and day, like, I'm going to check this bridge because it's very important. I'm going to go back tomorrow, and, you know, I'm worried about it on the weekend. I'm going to go take a look. There's just this, okay, we got our report. Can we massage it? It's not convenient time for me to fix this now. And all these contractors want to fight over it because it's so lucrative to get these contracts. So now we've got this battle going on, and it's just not a healthy situation to get anything done. And I think that should be the real story, in my view. And we should hear much, much more about how that, now that we've got the thread, the journalists should start saying, how does this dynamic affect government everywhere? And if they started to do that, they might unravel the whole thing, but that's why they probably won't.
What do you make of Ken Block's idea? He's the idea of expressing displeasure, and he's trying to gather money to put up some billboard or a billboard on 195 West.
But, you know, it's interesting, and it's kind of like, you know, it would be a massive waste of $10,000, I think. I mean, the people are upset, and there's not a whole lot of ambiguity about who to blame. I mean, there's spin, but it's not like everybody's looking one way and it's the governor's fault. You know, we kind of know who to blame, and people are naturally upset about it. So if you're going to raise money, you could get a lot of mileage raising money and giving it to businesses, or you know, fund some real deep investigative journalism into this stuff. Do something. If you want to raise money about this issue and raise awareness about it, that's where I think it would be better spent, rather than here's a billboard and we can all say, ha ha ha, wasn't that clever, and then nothing really changes.
You know, that's a very good one. Yeah, I don't know what would be gained by that. And I know, you know, Ken's been getting a lot of, he came out with, he felt was a smoking gun about this. And then the Journal did a story, and then obviously with the book tour. But I agree, other than kind of rubbing their noses in it, I'm not sure what to gain. Justin, meanwhile, back on at the State House, Rhode Island retirees launched letter email blitz demanding restoration of their COLAs. Now, they were then saying, oh, no, we just want a small bump, not restoration. But it's my understanding that this is the group that Raimondo put a freeze on the COLAs. And just so people have some context, you had people that they were not putting any money into the system, and then maybe they had a salary of $50,000. But then during the course of their retirement, because of, you know, the COLAs, they would end up receiving – you know, a million and a half, if not more, out of the system. But it was explained to me that this is really a two-step process, that if first they say, oh, we just want a little bump, and if you give that to them, the real money is in the restoration, because then they want all that money that they were not receiving over the past number, however many years it is now.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I mean, it comes back to something that's obvious in Rhode Island. These special interests will wait. They will. Yeah. They're relentless. They've got no reason not to.
Yep.
Their dues funding the special interests. The unions, even if they're not collecting money from the retirees, have an interest in keeping their offering lucrative. So they can wait. There are people paid to just sit here and keep the letter. Okay, now is a good time for a letter writing campaign. And they always. I mean, they also have a lot of time and resources to sit around and come up with strategies. And I think that's what, like you're talking about here, right? All right. So we've got high inflation right now, and so people are hurting. And so that's a sympathetic point to make. I'm not getting COLAs. The prices are going so high. I need some money. I need a bump. And then, but step two is, well, you know, prices are still high, and I lost all this ground because I wasn't getting COLAs. And the fact is, what we need to keep in mind is the pension deals are still unaffordable. You still can't afford them. It's not just the people who are taking out millions of dollars. It's the people are making more than they were when they were working, and there are people who put in very little money and got a whole lot out, and you end up where you're paying. You know, at this current moment, I mean, the pensions are supposed to work where you invest in it while the person's working, and then you're done, because the system is all set up where they're going to get enough revenue to live the rest of their lives without putting any more taxpayer dollars in it. That's how it's in theory supposed to work. But what you end up with is you're paying three or four people for the same job. The person who's doing it, and then the last three people who did it, because they're still living and they're still going. We can't afford the COLAs. And I think it's a, sort of like the minimum wage argument in some ways, in that you're not supposed to be – this isn't like maintain your lifestyle. This is you're older, you're going to slow down, you're going to retire, and so you don't need the salary you were making. You don't even need a big portion of it, because maybe your house is paid off. Maybe you're – that's – these pensions were designed with that in mind, but instead it becomes, you know, especially when you're letting people retire in their 50s or earlier,
right?
You've got 20, 30 years of people compounding COLAs.
Yeah.
It just cannot be done. And they trot out the sob stories, the handful who are really, really hurting, but that's not just who it is. And one important note, this part of the impetus for this new push was a report from a government agency about COLAs. Well, those people are all in the pension system. So, you know, they're going to think COLA should go up and pensions should be preserved. I think so. It's a mess, but I think it's up to news media and others to have kind of the cool head about it, so that as these relentless special interests keep coming and coming and coming every year, people don't forget we cannot afford this, and they shouldn't be expecting to make what they made while they were working while they're retired.
That's right. And the way it was described to me was someone that said that this is basically, it's like a trick where they get you to just say, we're just looking for, you know, 1% bump. And if you do that, boom, that means you admitted that it was wrong to take away in the first place. So then they go after the big, the real money's in the retroactive, because then the money would just come flooding out. Folks, again, he is the managing editor, anchorrising.com. It is Justin Katz. Our segment is Politics This Week. Justin, excellent job as always, and we'll talk to you again.
Thank you, John. Always a pleasure.
J. Perry Paving, they always provide high quality, fair pricing, exceptional service, and a free quote, free estimate, any project. J. Perry Paving. Call them 401-732-1730. Get your driveway paved. 401-732-1730 for J. Perry Paving. Licensed and insured contracted company committed to meeting your needs. No matter how big, how small, maybe it's a brand new paving project or just a cracked driveway that needs to be refreshed. J. Perry Paving. Call them for a free quote. 401-732-1730. You can also find them online at jperrypaving.com. Also on Facebook, it's going to make the appearance of your property worth more, look better. Commercial paving, residential. Call for your free quote today. J. Perry Paving. 401-732-1730. And look for them on Facebook. AEP Services. They take great pride installing fences of all kinds. Vinyl, wood, aluminum, chain link. Experience, quality, integrity. Call AEP Services today for a quality fence, home or business. 401-228-7190. 401-228-7190. Residential fence, commercial fence, steel, wood guard, rail. They have it all. Beautiful aluminum product, decorative landscape. It adds a lot to it for your stunning property. Call the experts today. AEP Services. 401-228-7190. Residential or commercial, why not enjoy your backyard, a little privacy, or maybe keep a pet or young children inside? Remember, they also have fences. They're resilient, water resistant. Call today, 401-228-7190. Free quote, AEP Services, the fence experts, 401-228-7190. Lawn Doctor of Rhode Island, make them your lawn care company. They have a great website, lawndoctor.com, lawndoctor.com. You can also call them, 401-392-1025, or log onto their website. It's so simple, lawndoctor.com. Then type in your zip code, get a quick, easy quote. Right now is the time. Your best lawn ever guaranteed. Lawn Doctor Premium 8 Service Program. This is early spring. Crabgrass control, time-release fertilizer, broadleaf weed control. Then you have the spring lime, professional blend of high-calcium lime. Late spring, summer, grub prevention, early fall, fall, late fall. And don't forget about ticks and mosquitoes. Lawn Doctor, your best lawn ever guaranteed. Log on at their website. It's lawndoctor.com, or call them 401-392-1025. Lawn Doctor of Rhode Island is your lawn care company. You're listening to the John DePietro Show. All right, let's start off. House Speaker Mike Johnson pushes through the foreign aid package. Still facing opposition, though, wrongfully within his own party. Here we go.
Transformational moment for Speaker Johnson. He went from being staunchly opposed to any more aid to Ukraine to putting his own job on the line to push forward with this $95 billion foreign aid package.
The bill is passed.
This morning, Congress is one step closer to passing billions in foreign aid that's desperately needed by America's allies. With the Senate set to vote on critical funding for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan after a dramatic weekend in the House.
The House will be in order.
Speaker Mike Johnson putting his job on the line to push through the massive aid package. $60 billion for Ukraine, $26 billion for Israel, $8 billion for Taiwan and Indo-Pacific allies, and legislation to force a sale of TikTok from its Chinese parent company or face a ban in the U.S.
We did our work here, and I think history will judge it well.
For months, Johnson stalled on President Biden's request for more funding. But after classified briefings, including with the CIA director, and lots of praying, the devout Christian made a dramatic turnaround, arguing to his fellow Republicans that helping Ukraine is critical to U.S. national security and that they need to be on the right side of history.
To put it bluntly, I would rather send bullets to Ukraine than American boys. My son is going to begin in the Naval Academy this fall. This is a live fire exercise for me, as it is so many American families.
But a majority of his members revolted, more than half of Republicans voting against aid to Ukraine, with Johnson forced to rely on Democrats to even bring it up for a vote. Now, at least three hardliners are threatening to oust Johnson over it.
He betrayed us three times.
The vote was held today. Mike Johnson is a lame duck.
He's done. With the GOP's razor-thin majority in the House, that's enough Republicans to push Johnson out, as Democrats and moderate Republicans praise Johnson for bringing these bills to the floor.
I commended, by name, traditional conservatives led by Speaker Mike Johnson for doing the right thing.
But Speaker Johnson's job is still under threat. Those hardline Republicans can still try to oust him when the House is back in session next week. In the meantime, the Senate will vote on this tomorrow, and the president says he's going to sign this legislation right away. Michael?
You know, I disagree with Marjorie Taylor Greene on this. Listen, we're at war with Russia. We are. Not by our doing, not that we want to, but through their aggression. We're at war with China, not that we want to, but through their aggression, we have to protect Taiwan. Israel is our ally. So just to be clear, like a lot of people, when I see this type of money and it's flowing overseas, I think, yeah, it'd be, you know, the United States, we should have more things and we should have the finest. But this is cost of doing business. This is security. Right now, the Ukrainian military is willing to continue to fight Russia. They're not going to stop. They're going to start to continue to move in through other parts of Europe. Are we going to do that? Are we going to just allow that? I don't think we should. Meanwhile, what is going on right now at Colombia? So beyond the pale, it is frightening where, I mean, this is New York, Columbia University, and Jewish students are essentially that, in fact, being told to leave the campus. It's not safe for students at Columbia. That president, the president of Columbia, I mean, that is an absolute disgrace. Now, she had been on Capitol Hill. And once again, Representative Stefanik, here's the questioning of the president of Columbia. And this is one of the reasons why they have the problems.
That at some of these events, the slurs and the chants have been F the Jews, death to Jews, yep. F Israel, no safe place, death to the Zionist state, Jews out. You don't think those are anti-Jewish?
Completely anti-Jewish, completely unacceptable.
So you changed your testimony on that issue as well? So there have been anti-Jewish protests.
I didn't get to finish my sentence. So what I was going to say was there were protests that were called
That's not what you were asked. You were asked, were there any anti-Jewish protests? And you said no.
So the protest was not labeled as an anti-Jewish protest.
I'm not asking what it was labeled.
Anti-Israeli government policy.
The question wasn't what it was labeled.
But anti-Semitic incidents happen, or anti-Semitic things were said. So I just
It is an anti-Jewish protest. You agree with that? You change your testimony?
Congresswoman, anti-Jewish things were said at protests, yes.
That is just, listen, you want to talk about another resignation coming or another person that's going to be forced out. Meanwhile, this is a Jewish Columbia University professor. Listen to him talking and telling the students at Columbia.
Congregate your next target, pointing at Jewish students. So here you have it. While U.S. citizens are being held hostage in Gaza by Hamas and by the Islamic Jihad, you have students at Columbia University and faculty at Columbia University who are cheering on Hamas. They are denied.
Think of that. It's true.
And the administration, Columbia's administration, not only won't do anything about it, they are refusing to let the NYPD in. They are letting the terrorists in and keeping the NYPD out. So my message is not to the cowards at Columbia's administration. My message is to the mayor. We don't need your empty remarks about not being okay. Right now, we are not okay.
They will not let the police come onto the campus. But there are students at Columbia, and it's almost tough to listen to. But they are, in fact, chanting about Hamas. Listen to this. These are protesters at Columbia. Let me start it from the beginning. Take another soldier out. Burn Tel Aviv to the ground. Yay, Hamas, we love you. We support your rockets too. I mean, they're openly, we support Hamas this time. How? Wow. Whew. You're listening to The John DePietro Show. You need a good plumber? J&B Plumbing. Call them today, 401-743-9153. J&B Plumbing. They can repair damaged water pipes. They can repair clogged pipelines. They can replace a water heater. All your plumbing needs. Call Jim right now at J&B Plumbing. You know, plumbing is something that suddenly you have an emergency and then you need a plumber right away. You want to go with the experienced plumbers at J&B Plumbing. 401-743-9153. Family run business. Now, I share their Facebook page you can find for easy reference, but they specialize plumbing, heating, drain cleaning, most importantly, all problem solving, quality workmanship and emergency service. It's J&B Plumbing. You need a good plumber? I got a great one. J&B. Call them today. Call them right now. 401-743-9153. Remember, they can repair damaged water pipes, repair a clogged pipeline, replace water heaters. J&B Plumbing. 401-743-9153. You're listening to The John DePietro Show. So former Governor Gina Raimondo, now Commerce Secretary, on 60 Minutes last night. Let's pick it up. I'm kind of treating it as part two, but it's very extensive, very positive piece, incredible PR piece that I'll touch on. But this is the end of the segment.
There are strings attached to these grants. They have to provide daycare. You want them to have a diverse workforce. Mm-hmm. Be union workers?
That is not social policy, Leslie.
Sounds like it.
It's math. This is pure math. You won't have enough workers to do the job.
I'm going to back it up just for a moment. Are they saying that you have to be a union worker in order to work there? Is that what she's saying? That's really remarkable if those are some of the provisions that they're putting on.
If they need women, mm-hmm. and women need daycare, that's a decision for the company to make. Why mandate it if it's what they need?
It's not mandated. To be clear, these are not mandates.
But it's written in there.
It is written, but you know what's funny? I never hear complaints about this from the companies. The only complaints I have are from politicians.
In her 3 years in Washington, Raimondo has elevated the Commerce Department and its secretary into a high-profile player.
China wakes up every day figuring out how to get around our regulations. We got to wake up every day that much more relentless and aggressive. So I bring it every day.
So here comes the inevitable, obvious question mm-hmm. that you know is coming your way. Mm. You are on a list of future presidential candidates. Does that sound good to you? Is it appetizing?
What sounds good to me is being the best Commerce Secretary there's ever been.
One qualification for high office is being able to duck a question like that.
Now, there are Trump supporters in Rhode Island. I'm already seeing them on social media. They can't stand her. Okay, I get that. There are people that did not like her as governor. I get that. I was here. I was considered actually like her biggest critic. That was a very positive piece on 60 Minutes. That was an incredibly valuable PR piece on 60 Minutes. This is not about what job she did as governor of Rhode Island. This is also not about her running against President Trump, or as someone was saying, Wilbur Ross as Commerce, or even Pat Buchanan for that matter. This is about how would she fare in her competition is in fact the mayor of Mayor Pete, right, who's transportation secretary, and also not only him, but Governor Newsom. Governor Newsom would be someone to be a competitor. Vice President Harris, you have to look at who the field would be. This is not a matter of how would she do in a Republican primary.
The Lodge Pub and Eatery, 40 Breakneck Hill Road in Lincoln. Lunch, dinner, drinks in the lounge, especially this time of year. So much going on. They always have a nice crowd right there. Full bar, large dining area right there in the lounge. Easy to get to, whether it's lunch or dinner. A great meal is waiting for you at the Lodge Pub and Eatery. Think of this, since 1994, that's right, celebrating the big anniversary this year. I'll see you at the Lodge Pub and Eatery, 40 Breakneck Hill Road in Lincoln.
Your best lawn ever guaranteed. Lawn Doctor of Rhode Island. Now is the time. Log onto their website, lawndoctor.com. Just put in your zip code, you get a free quote. Take part in their 8-part premium program. Your best lawn ever guaranteed. Lawn Doctor of Rhode Island. Spring is here. Log on at lawndoctor.com. Check out DePietro.com, DePietro.com, all our links to social media, exclusive stories and videos waiting for you at DePietro.com.